The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there were numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As our Lord told his apostles before the Last Supper, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you. Similarly, I have longed to preach to you on this Corpus Christi. It will be my last as your pastor." And I always love preaching on Corpus Christi because the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is, in the words of the fathers of the last ecumenical council, the source and summit of the whole Christian life, and a source of great interest to me personally, as I believe that you know. So this particular year, the church asks us to reflect upon that passage from Luke chapter 9, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. I'd like for us to consider some other passages from that same author, St. Luke, but before we do, let's remember our Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, and that was the ancient king of Salem, which would eventually become Jerusalem. His name was Melchizedek. And he encounters Abraham, and he makes a sacrifice of 2 things, bread and wine. Then the 110th Psalm says, speaking, we would say, of the coming Messiah, "You are a priest forever or eternally, according to the order of Melchizedek," who made a sacrifice of bread and wine. These 2 Old Testament scriptures are foreshadowings of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Eucharist. Now, let us go back to St. Luke's Gospel. Okay, I'm going to read to you the actions of our Lord in the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. "Then, taking the loaves, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples." Note those actions: taking, blessing, breaking, giving. Okay. Now, in the upper room, St. Luke wrote, "Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." Then, at the risen Lord appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And again, this is the same author, St. Luke. While he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. So I just place before you, can this be mere coincidence? No. Just as I said, Melchizedek, in his offering of bread and wine, was a prefiguration or foreshadowing of our Lord. So our Lord's miracle concerning the multiplication of the loaves is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. He performed another famous miracle with wine, the miracle of the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, a bread miracle, a wine miracle, both foreshadowings of the Eucharist. Okay. Then in the upper room, he institutes the Eucharist using the fourfold actions of taking, blessing, breaking, and giving. Okay. And then after his resurrection, immediately meeting with two disciples, he terminates with them at table, takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it, and what's the comment that St. Luke makes? With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They recognized his presence, yet he vanished from their sight. Now, St. Luke also wrote the first history book of the church, Acts of the Apostles. Here is his summary of the early Christian communal life. This is from chapter 2 of the book of Acts. They, that is the first generation Christians, devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. To the breaking of the bread. That is the first Christian term for this reality that we call the Eucharist, the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood, Corpus Christi, the most sacred mystery. Okay? The first Christians called this reality the breaking of the bread. It is all the same reality. Our Lord in the upper room at the last Passover made this simple command to the apostles. Do this. Do this. So that is our focus as Corpus Christi. Do. What are we doing at Mass when we as Christians celebrate the Eucharist? What are we doing? And then secondly, this. Do this. What is this? Today, there is much confusion and misunderstanding concerning what we do and what this is. Many Catholics do not believe that the Eucharist is anything more than a mere symbol of Christ's body and blood. And many non-Catholics think that we believe that we re-sacrifice Jesus in the Mass. Neither is true. So I will attempt to explain what we do at Mass and what this is. First, we must go back to the time of Christ and understand, as all of the first generation Christians did, what priesthood is and what religious sacrifice is. Remember that the Epistle to the Hebrews explicitly affirms that Jesus is a priest. He is our great high priest. He possesses a priesthood that is his own and is unique, which we call the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We must understand priesthood And we must understand religious sacrifice as at the time of Christ. Now, it is noteworthy that we can actually propose concepts of both that were common both in Judaism to the Jews, such as Jesus and the apostles, but also to the Mediterranean pagans that they would quickly be evangelizing. It didn't matter if you were a Jew in Jerusalem or if you were a pagan, say in Rome or Athens, you knew these two things. Firstly, that a priest was the official representative of a religion who offered sacrifice on behalf of worshipers. So you might have some priests of, let's say, Mars in the temple of Mars, lots and lots and lots of worshipers of the pagan god Mars, just as you had multiples of priests in the temple in Jerusalem, but many, many, many more Jews who would go to that temple to offer their worship. And worship to all of these people, Jews or pagans, meant religious sacrifice. It was not merely singing. It was not merely praising. It was not merely praying. It was sacrifice. When one worshiped one's God, one made sacrifice. And that sacrifice was almost universally what? Food and drink. Interestingly, common to both Jews and pagans. So, for example, if you made a drink sacrifice, say of wine, that was called a libation. You would bring this valuable drink to the temple priest. You make the sacrifice of your jug of wine, let's say, and then the priest offers it by pouring it out. That's the libation, meaning wasting it. Wasting it. But you could also make a libation of oil, another very valuable liquid. Or you could make an offering of grain or first fruits. But the greatest sacrifice that you could offer would be a living animal, which was a food source of the highest value to an ancient person who did not enjoy the meat-rich diet that we are so familiar with. To take a lamb, for example, and give it to a priest and have the priest slaughter it and maybe even burn it up, immolate it. That's what a Holocaust was. Put it on an altar and a fire and it's destroyed. That lamb could have become a sheep and could have been a source of food for your family for a very long time. And you say, I want to destroy this because I am so devoted to my God. God, take it. I give this up. It's very valuable. Or even greater than that, maybe a bull. I mean, at least as Montanans, we can appreciate how valuable a bull is even today, right? Imagine just going out and shooting your bull in the field because you love God so much. You say, I'm going to offer this up to you, back to you, okay? And in the ancient world, you could be a pagan. You could take your animal to the temple priest, and he'd slaughter it, and he'd offer it up to the pagan god in front of the statue. Or if you were an ancient Jew, only in Jerusalem, there was only one Jewish temple, the priest would take your offering and slaughter it, and that was your sacrifice. There was no worship without sacrifice that was universal. And to facilitate this, there were priests. Okay. So, I want to now share with you an analogy. Okay. So, here is something relatively valuable, a $20 bill. Okay. And my father, when I was a little boy, would take me to Mass. And there would come the point in the Mass in which the collection would be taken up and the adults would give their tithes. And so my father, let's say, he would take his money, let's say here $20, more valuable in the 1980s than now, okay? But and what did he do when the usher came by with the basket? He did not put the money in himself. He put it in my hands, and then I got to put it into the basket. Why did my father do that? As many parents do when they have little children. Because he wanted me to share in the sacrifice that he was making and to be part of it and not divorced from it. He didn't need me, of course, to put it in, but he wanted to draw me in to the sacrifice. So let me ask you this. Who was making the sacrifice? My dad or me? My dad was making the sacrifice. Who was offering the sacrifice? I was. Do you see that important distinction? Dad made the sacrifice. I, though, got the privilege of offering the sacrifice. That analogy might be able to help you to understand what we do here in Mass. Our Lord commanded, do this. The Mass is a sacrifice, as the Church teaches, but we must properly understand it. It is a sacrifice. It is our sacrifice of bread and wine. Now, it's so little of a sacrifice that I think it all the more helps us to understand the greatness of our Lord's sacrifice, because you support your parish by tithing. Your parish then purchases from a monastery the host, the bread, and the wine. You come to Mass, and that is your gift. Like if you were an ancient person, you'd come with wine maybe for a libation sacrifice, or even bread for bread sacrifice. That's your sacrifice. Is the Mass a sacrifice? Yes, in that sense. It is a sacrifice, communal sacrifice of bread and wine. But it is more than that. It is also the representation of Jesus' sacrifice, of his body and blood on the cross. So it's a sacrifice in two senses. Your sacrifice is bread and wine, mere bread and wine. But through the miracle of the Eucharist, also the Mass makes present anew Jesus' sacrifice of his body and blood. And then it is our communal offering of Jesus' sacrifice to the Father as our own. Thus, we do not believe that we re-sacrifice Jesus at the Mass. And don't believe anybody who would suggest that. You say Catholics do not believe that at all. That's very wrong of you to share misinformation about our faith. We do not believe that we re-sacrifice Jesus. But neither do we believe that the bread and wine at Mass are merely symbols of Christ's body and blood. Rather, that they are truly, miraculously, the very same body and blood of Christ that were sacrificed by him on the cross 2,000 years ago. So when you come to Mass, your sacrifice is the bread and the wine. The priest takes it, and by the invocation of the Holy Spirit and the authority of his ordination, the speaking of the words of Jesus in the upper room, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. At that moment, it is no longer mere bread. It is Jesus' very body. It is his very flesh. And then the priest, on your behalf, offers it to the Father as your worship. Okay. So just like me, little me, walking down the kneeler to put my dad's money in, that's like you at Mass. You're not making the sacrifice of the body and the blood. Jesus is and did. But you, because the Father is so generous, wants to draw you into that and lets you offer it through the priest's hands as your worship. So I hope that that helps to explain what we do at Mass. But since Jesus commanded, do this, what is this? I said that the Catholic faith affirms that after the words of consecration at the altar, mere bread and mere wine become the very body and blood of Christ. And the act of their becoming the body and blood of Christ, we have a very specific technical term for. You know that term. Even non-Catholics know the term. Transubstantiation. Transubstantiation. Okay? So I would like to share with you now another analogy. Some of you, if you've been my parishioners for some years, have seen this before. Don't ruin it for the others, okay? All right. So I held up a moment ago an object in my hand that was the $20 bill for that example of the difference, distinction between sacrifice and offering. Sacrifice. Okay, so now I'm holding up another object in my hand. If you would be so kind as to humor me and answer together, what is this? It is an... Okay, all right. Simple enough, right? It's red. You know, it has a certain weight to it. I might tell you that it, you know, smells like an apple, etc. However, I have intentionally deceived your senses. This is not an apple. It is a piece of plastic that looks like an apple. It's a fake apple. Your senses say, no, it is an apple. Now let's consider that word is. It's being. It's substance. Its substance is not fruit. Its substance is plastic. Its being is plastic. It is only an apple in its appearance. Similarly, after the consecration of the bread at Mass, and after the consecration of the wine at Mass, they maintain the appearance. Philosophers would use the term accidents. Every single accident of bread, every single appearance of wine, taste, weight, texture, everything, but their being, their substance, their isness, is no longer mere bread and wine. What appears to be wine is actually blood. What appears to be bread is actually flesh. And that is why you see the word substance in transubstantiation. The substance changes. It is certainly no mere symbol after the consecration. So I hope that those explanations and examples are helpful to you, because let's be honest, those concepts escape many Catholics and are sometimes misrepresented by non-Catholics who say this is what Catholics do or think that they do, and we need to be clear in our understanding so as to explain the Eucharist to them. Now, as I shared on Holy Thursday, and has since been announced publicly, I will be taking a sabbatical of a few months following the conclusion of my pastorate with you. The purpose of that is to work on a book that I have wanted to write and really have just been doing only research and very little parts of for some years, but a book on the Mass specifically. And the working title of it is The Ideal Mass. My goal is to research and faithfully present what the Mass should look like, feel like, sound like, and be like anywhere at any Mass in theory and in practice. Because, of course, you know that you go from place to place and Mass to Mass, And it's essentially the same, but hey, let's be honest, there can be some very distracting and even scandalous differences, can't there? And my argument is that should not be the case. It must not be the case. If this is the source and summit of the whole Christian life, we have to get this right. Do this. What are we doing, people? That could be another name for the book. What are we doing, people? What is this that we are doing? We have to take this very, very seriously. This is our worship. This is our Lord. This he commanded us do. What are we doing if we have scandalous diversities and division and abuse and confusion and misunderstanding? And so that is the purpose of my book. I ask you to please pray, therefore, that I am successful. I have never written a book before, so I don't know what will happen. We'll see. I've certainly never attempted to write a book in 3 months. And so I hope very much to accomplish a great deal in a short amount of time, because, of course, at the end of that period of time, I have to focus upon my new assignment and my new parish, and side projects will have to take a back seat. So please pray that I can be successful, because I hope to help people better understand what Jesus meant when he commanded, do this. That is our sacrificial worship, that is the Mass, which makes present the body and blood of Christ.